I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So that's Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 25. Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken.'" Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Helen. Wonderful to think that on the day that Jesus rose again, he immediately was engaging in ministry, engaging with his disciples, and moving and encouraging those who were feeling absolutely discouraged and sad in their hearts. Just before we look into this word this morning, I would like to say I just received a text to say that when we placed the details of giving to the church, that in some screens it came up a little bit blurred. Could I just say that for those who would like to follow up on that encouragement, to just go to our website, East Hill Baptist Church London, and you'll find the details there to continue to support and give to the church as well. So thank you for texting that in, and may God bless as we do continue to give. So, talking this morning about the burning heart and what enables God's people to be a people whose hearts are aflame with joy and with fire and with passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. What gives us that ability? What creates that opportunity and makes that difference deep down in our lives? And we see a little bit of that this morning when we come to this passage. I was yesterday very blessed to be part of a team of folk from around the United Kingdom, really, as we met on video conferencing to talk about the work of the Zimbabwe Partnership Trust. And as I was following that work, as I was part of that discussion, I was amazed at how much God is blessing a ministry that kind of sparked in the last decade, really. About 8 years ago, we had a recognition meeting of the desire to assist in Zimbabwe. And in that meeting, we prayed that God would give us a opportunity to work. And slowly, we've seen an incredible growth. And yesterday, we were talking about helping widows, for example, of pastors who had been wonderful pastors who some had passed away from road accidents or from illness and are suddenly destitute. And we're able to come alongside them and help them and encourage them and help them find livelihoods by providing sewing machines and opportunities like that. In other parts of Zimbabwe, we were encouraged yesterday to hear about a project we have in the Mount Darwin area where our goat project has so developed so well that they are now breeding so well that they are a healthy herd. And we are providing not only food and milk, but we are exporting goats into other areas of Zimbabwe as well. Orphans are being clothed and encouraged. Pastors are being blessed. We are assisting prisoners who are coming out of prison with giving them a second chance at life. And on it goes. And we are concerned about spiritual oversight and encouragement of both men and women, the women's conferences and the pastors' conferences, and just strengthening by God's grace the work in the church in Zimbabwe. And while we were participating, I felt my heart, there's a term later on where the disciples are going to say, did not our hearts burn within us when the Lord revealed to us these things? Well, I kind of felt that yesterday in that meeting as we were talking about what was happening. And I was reminded about a situation. It was as if the Lord reminded me of a time when my heart was sad, where as a schoolboy, we were driving back from one town to another in the middle of Zimbabwe, back to our school. We had been at a rugby tournament, and the rain was coming down in the afternoon, fierce rain, stinging rain, really, and lightning, and the bus was going very slowly along the road. And there was suddenly an elderly African man in Zimbabwe, we'd call him a Madala. He was walking along and sheltering himself, and he was using a blazer with the very distinctive marks of our school. And the rugby master stopped the bus and took the blazer away from him in the middle of the rain, saying, you know, you shouldn't be using school colors. And in one sense, I know he was saying the school colors are for the school only, but I felt sad when I saw that happen, because I felt maybe he could have said, look, when you get back, just don't use the blazer anymore or give the blazer back to the people who gave it to you. But to take it away in that situation, I felt sad. And the Lord kind of showed me and reminded me of that. I've totally forgotten about that. And while all this was happening yesterday, I realized that, and the Lord was saying, you know, from being sad in that one situation, you are now part of a nationwide situation where we are giving blazers to cover and shelter those who are cold and those who are feeling the sting of life all around Zimbabwe. And I really felt what that meant to have a burning heart, a heart that had moved from in whatever it was, 50 years from being sad in that one situation to being full of joy at what God is doing. And God is about that. God is a God who wants to take the sadness of our heart away and set our hearts on fire. And today's passage talks about that, shows us that. In today's reading, we actually see a transition from a sad heart to a heart that is burning for God. And the question is, how did that transition happen? What changed the broken heart of these disciples into a joyous, burning heart? And just like the two overwhelmed disciples moving and limping along, really, on the Emmaus Road, so many of us are struggling and are suffering from a sad heart, especially those of us who right now are even losing loved ones to this cruel virus or other devastating diseases. The condition of the sad heart has been the condition of so many of us as we walk along, as we limp along our own personal Emmaus road. And just as Jesus came alongside those two disciples on that morning, so Jesus draws close to us. He draws close to us and he recognizes that we too, many of us, are struggling from having a sad heart. And what he says in verse 15, as he says to them, as he comes alongside them, he says, "Why is your heart sad?" He asks the question. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" And he recognizes right at the beginning, by asking that question, the Lord has already started the process of healing the sad heart. The Lord knows that healing begins in the heart, and that healing keeps and happens when we realize what the main problem is. And most often, part of the problem is our hearts are overwhelmed. Even today, in the modern day, we find that we are on a road, an Emmaus road, and we don't sometimes even know why, but we struggle with a sadness, with a broken heart. And the Lord comes alongside us, just like he did with the disciples. Proverbs chapter 4, it says, "Guard your heart with all diligence." Proverbs 17, it says, "A cheerful heart," and the Lord knew this, "a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit, a crushed heart, dries up the bones." And Jesus said to his disciples clearly, before all this began to happen, before the trials, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, the famous doctor, expositor of the Word of God, talking about the theme, the burning heart, said this. He said, "Why is it that sometimes when you go outside a football stadium, you see such excitement and enthusiasm, but when you sometimes see folk going to church, that we struggle to get to church, or we struggle to have that same enthusiasm?" And in a real way, he's right. He was very right. I remember when I visited Chelsea with our brother John Bliss, who we thank God is recovering so well at the moment. I was amazed at the enthusiasm and the passion of the Chelsea fans. As we got on the train to go to Fulham Broadway, the fans already decked in their Chelsea colours were anticipating the game. They were excited. There was an enthusiasm that you couldn't miss, even in the train as we were travelling. And when we got to the Fulham station, they joined with the other many, many fans, and there was a joyous anticipation about the game. And then once the game began and once we got inside the stadium, there was even more passion, even more enthusiasm, more singing, more cheering. And then even on the way home, when we were leaving, there was again a sense, fortunately we had won, but the Chelsea team had won that night, but there was even more sharing and reveling in the victory that had been witnessed in the evening. But when it comes to church, we don't see it. It's what Martin Lloyd-Jones was saying. Very often we find that sometimes we feel it's a duty to go to church rather than a joyous occasion, an anticipation. Even during the service, sometimes we may struggle with focus and thinking and concentrating, and disruptions can occur. And even going home after the church, whether we're on the bus or walking or driving, our thoughts may turn not to consider where we've been, but to consider the week ahead. And there's a sense in which you get a contrast between what is happening in the football and what is happening at church. You can see it, and it represents something of the heart of us, God's people, when we struggle in some way. It's good to go to church. It's good. It is a duty. It is good and it is important. And it is a discipline. That's why we call disciples. But there should be something of the fire in our hearts that should be there. And so often life has quenched the fire in our hearts that once burned so bright. And Jesus knows, and he knew, that he needed to rekindle the fire of enthusiasm and joy and vision in the hearts of his disciples. It's a little bit like John Wesley. John Wesley says when he was one night going to a meeting in Aldgate in North London to a service, they were reading there the commentary on Romans, and he kind of drifted in. He felt he needed to go, but there was no heart there. And he said, as he listened to the word that night, as he listened to the expounding of the book of Romans, something came alight in his heart. He said, it was as if my heart was strangely warmed. And from that moment, his whole life changed. His whole vision changed. His passion for church and ministry and the evangelism of the world changed on that night. Charles Spurgeon was even more of a, had even more of a problem in his heart. He said, when I stumbled into that cold church on that cold winter's day, I found my way into a Methodist church. The storm, the snow outside had pushed me to the closest church I could find. My heart was cold, he says. He says, I felt the most wretched of all in the whole kingdom. My heart was sad and broken, and I needed help. And it was while he was in that church, in that Methodist chapel, on that day, a lay preacher shared from the Old Testament, look unto the Lord and be saved. And as he heard those words and realized what it meant to look to Jesus to be saved, suddenly his heart caught fire through the word of God being taught and preached. And he saw Jesus, and his heart came afire, aflame. And we see the impact that came from that. But so often we are like that. Our hearts need to be revealed, need to be changed, need to be inflamed, if you will. And Jesus knows that the beginning of healing is to transform our hearts from sad and defeated and quenched, smoldering hearts to hearts that are on fire for him, on fire for and filled with love and joy and enthusiasm for him. And the question is, how do we move from a sad heart and a broken heart to a heart that is on fire? And so where Jesus recognized that the hearts were sad, he also realized that while their hearts were sad, as they were walking along, they were also slow. In verse 25, we read, and he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow to heart, slow to believe in all the prophets have spoken. And he challenged them, and he said, part of the reason you are so slow and your hearts are so sad is because you are slow to believe. And he's encouraging his disciples, just as he's encouraging us today, to not be slow to want to go to church and embrace the congregation of God's people and the worship of God and to embrace the exposition of God's word, but to rush, to run, to seek God with all our heart, and to not turn to the left or the right, to not be slow, but to come to God with all diligence. And he challenges us not to be slow. And then he moves to the third and the most important part of the transition. He begins to apply the cure for a sad heart, for a slow heart. And the cure is this, beginning with Moses, going all the way through the prophets, up until the present day, he begins to expound the scriptures. and in expounding the scriptures, in teaching the scriptures, he leads the disciples away from a sad heart, from a slow heart, to a heart that is on fire, a heart that catches fire for God. And it is that heart of fire, that heart of flame, that Jesus is asking and calling us all to receive. If you follow that, Jesus applies the cure. And in the New Testament, it says this. It says, for those who are waiting on God, let God fan into flame the gift that is in you. And there are many today who I think would say it is God the Holy Spirit who is yes, our encourager, who is our comforter, and who does lead us, who would be the one that brings fire to our heart. But I would say of us this, that just like when you are setting a barbecue and you're trying to get a fire going, you've got to get the coals burning first before you blow on them to fan them into fire. And in the same way, we need to let our hearts catch fire through the scriptures. We need to love and fall in love again with our Bible. We need to embrace the Word of God in an exciting and a new way. We need to read our Bible again with a new heart, with a new vision, with a love and a passion for Him. And when we embrace the scriptures, when we embrace the word of God, the fire will come. And then the Holy Spirit will be able to blow over the coals, over the fire, and then create a fiery furnace of love, of passion, of enthusiasm, so that when people look at us going into church, not an outward performance, but an inward fire, just like we see with the fans going to Chelsea to a football game, they will see something different. They will see a transformation. They will see a church whose individual hearts are on fire and collectively are creating this bonfire for Christ, because Jesus will apply the same cure today as he did to his disciples. He would expound the scriptures. We are in lockdown, but we are not in lockout. We have an opportunity to engage with the Lord like never before. In fact, it may be good to change the word lockdown to lock in. What God has done is he's locked us in with himself. He's locked us in with his word. He's locked us in to prayer and into our closets. And now, in this time of lock-in with God, let us get our hearts newly on fire through reading and loving and having the word of God expounded to us, so that the Holy Spirit coming will blow a fire into a place where when we come back together to gather again out of this time of lock-in, we will find a bonfire because we have grown together in the word of God. May God help us to use this time wisely, to love his word, to grow in his word, to set our hearts on fire again, so that we're not a people of sad hearts, but a people whose hearts are burning. And just as the disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us when he expounded the scriptures? Let our hearts burn again with holy fire by God's grace. Amen. May God bless us. May we take that word. Let us use this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.